You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 29 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz, market's response to that new COVID variant. Massive sell-off on Friday. Was it maybe an opportunity? We're going to be talking corporate wellness, and particularly in terms of medical aids. You downgrade to save some money, but at what cost? We're going to be talking as well around endowments. Where do they work? How do they fit? They're a bit of a unique product, but they've got their place and time. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Quantum Foods profit takes a dip amid high feeding costs, bird flu and outbreak. The global commodity prices, logistics, all being blamed for increases in feed prices. Fair shout, but I got a sense that Astral managed it a lot better. Business day, emergence rates, Standard Bank a screaming buy. Asset manager says share price could rally 30% over the next 24 months as that Liberty deal kicks in. They got Liberty, it's a sneaky deal. They're buying it less for embedded value, so it's immediately positive to the balance sheet. Morning markets, US was red on Friday, S&P of 2.3%, NASDAQ down 2.1%. This morning in Asia, red but not so bad, Sydney off a third, Tokyo off 0.5%. Commodities, green after a huge sell-off on Friday, gold 17.98, Brent 76.19, that's up 5% off the Friday close, palladium 1,797, rand looking a lot better but still on the wrong side at 16.12, top 40 looking for a green open, about 240 points higher, 0.4%, that is 10 cent trades, 1% up in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kuntz, portfolio manager, Sunlum Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning time. The Friday sell-off, which was pretty much across everything, particularly leisure stocks. I got to say, I've been one of those folks who's been, I like these leisure stocks, but I would like them a bit cheaper. Wow, Friday was a bit cheaper. Was it buying, or is there just a buying opportunity, or is this just too much unknown?
Yeah, morning, Simon. Yeah, it was brutal, wasn't it? It was really, really in a thin market with the Americans off for Thanksgiving, yeah. Wealth and a half a day there, and most took the long weekend. It really shows what happens when in thin markets and get a little bit of nerves to kick in. And is it a buying opportunity? I'm not sure. There certainly were big sell-offs. I mean, the banks down. I couldn't figure out why the banks were down 7-odd% on the day. It made no sense to me. You probably could have picked up a few, but it just shows that the nervousness that we have in this market, and every single time there's a headline on our screen regarding the coronavirus or markets opening up or countries closing down, we get these wild swings. So cautious. I'm a cautious buyer at these levels. I guess you just got to be careful at these levels.
And as, to your point, I mean, a nervous market. And, we have no idea which way Omicron goes. And it could all be kind of like within 2 or 3 weeks, we're back to the races. But it can have implications. And certainly the lockdowns that are coming, the restrictions, again, here we go with global travel and therefore potentially global growth as well. I mean, this can get ugly.
It can get ugly, and we're a long way from any sort of herd immunity or mass vaccination that we need to see on the continent. I thought our president made quite a good point last night, and we do need to, until everyone gets vaccinated, this is exactly what you're going to see as different variants come in and come and go. You're going to get these opens up and shutting, but. It's going to be a busy week. Let's see. I mean, we've got China manufacturing PMI tomorrow. We've got US ISM survey. I see that's out on Wednesday. Of course, it is Jobs Friday before the last one before Christmas time. So plenty to sink our teeth into as Americans get back today.
And of course, OPEC Plus were also supposed to be chatting, although I see they've kicked to that meeting down the road. It was supposed to be today, tomorrow. They've pushed it to Wednesday, Thursday. It kind of solves itself. Brent at 75, WTI at 71. Certainly looking a little better than the mid-80s we had a couple of weeks, a month ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, big move, a huge move on Friday sell-off, and does, yeah, it does kind of a market sort of takes care of that for itself, as you said. Also, a lot better for South Africa's inflation outlook. You know, maybe, just maybe, we get a little bit of a petrol price decrease before Christmas, because with the rand out, it was, what was it, Simon? 16, almost 16.50 on Friday, and the oil price where it was on the Thursday. That's not a good story. But looking a little bit better this morning, and OPEC being reluctant to move at any or even hint of increasing those taps, I think this does their job for them, as you said.
OPEC, I think, is kind of lacking the price. Quick last question. I mentioned in the intro about some really bullishness on Standard Bank. As you said, huge sell-off from banks on Friday. I couldn't figure out the quite why. Would Standard Bank be your preferred in the sector?
Yeah, it would. It would. And a little bit of disclosure, we actually were buying as well last week. I can get them cheaper today, though. But yes, it would be. Definitely my preferred choice in the sector.
Always a pleasure. Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning. Our question to you is, on our LinkedIn and Twitter polls, that huge sell-off in leisure stocks, in banking stocks, but in particular, those leisure stocks as that new variant emerged, travel restrictions being imposed. Were you buying that sell-off? Perhaps you were. Disclaimer, I was certainly buying some. Maybe you were waiting, or perhaps, as Nick says, maybe it's looking today, but certainly it is volatile out there. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Dr. Frank McGregor, Corporate Wellness Executive at Sanlam Health Solutions. Frank, appreciate the early morning time. An article you had penned talking particularly around medical expenses and how that can trap people. You make the point that surveys place medical as second biggest money stressor. First is debt, second is medical. And of course, if you're not properly insured, medical can lead to that first, which is more debt.
Absolutely. Good morning, Simon. Lovely, lovely to talk to you on your show this morning. I think the topic deserves an early morning start, so I'm okay with that. I think, the article was really trying to show the impact broadly of stress, but specifically of financial stress on individuals. I think managers and leaders, Simon, generally in corporate, I find in my interactions with them that they don't have a full grasp of the impact of high levels of stress on an individual. Probably because we use the term stress so often that people have this idea of kind of, just get over it. But research shows us that employees or individuals experiencing high levels of stress are really going through a challenging time, both physiologically in terms of how their body is responding to the stress that they're experiencing, psychologically as well, because there's this sense of high levels of stress, and anxiety. And that leads to definite behaviors we see, such as overeating, lack of exercise, smoking too much, drinking too much, aggressive driving. Those all have been shown by research, whether it's general stress or financial stress. And that is really the point I was driving that article, Simon.
And what we're seeing, I mean, we are, what, month 21 of a pandemic, a new variant out there. It is, planet Earth is a stressful place right now for the average human being. But folks who are in some debt, who've got that money issues and the like, they're probably even markedly more stressed. And they're trying to make decisions that it's almost a Hobson's choice. I mean, you can try and cut corners here, but there's going to be implications there. You can downgrade a medical plan to try and fix some debt, but that could have a cost down the line. It needs to be a lot more cognizant of where the average South African is.
Absolutely. And therein lies the challenge that South African consumers find themselves in currently, Simon. You're spot on. Because what we have is both stress from whether I have enough money or not, that's financial stress,
mm-hmm.
stress around do I want to be vaccinated or not? You know, let's remember, some people still have concerns around vaccinated. It's a stressor for them. You know, it induces anxiety for whatever reason those individuals may have. Then we also have another stressor of what happens should I get sick and I don't have enough medical cover. And of course, finally, when you take all this together, what is really happening to the individual is that they are feeling threatened. So they are feeling the environment as a threat. When we as individuals feel threatened, the body kicks in the automatic stress response that says I either must flee, right? I must fight, or often, you know, we freeze. When we are fleeing, we're running away, what that means is we've got stress hormones being released into the system to get us ready to flee. We're talking of cortisol. We're talking of adrenaline, you know, for example. And of course, a continuous release, Simon, of those stress hormones into the system makes us susceptible to both physical and mental illness. And therein lies the problem, again, because now you're not well either physically or mentally, but you actually don't have a medical aid or enough emergency funds to use for your medical expenses.
And then we bring this all together. It's, and you mentioned up front the leaders, and disparagingly, I'm going to say that they're in their ivory towers. You almost get, my sense is they need to come down and actually engage with staff, with people at the sort of the front line, and really understand and try and assist. It's not an easy solution, but there needs to be perhaps some more engagement and communication.
Without a doubt. So I spend my time talking to CEOs, talking to wellness officers, talking to, you know, people in HR. And one of the messages I drive is to firstly really get them to understand the impact of stress on the individual. That's exactly the discussion I'm having. And even highlighting for them that, look, for example, organizations such as the World Economic Forum, the International Labor Organization, the ILO, have all said, you know, the major source of stress in people's lives is the workplace. So there's a lot of stress around the workplace. So companies need to realize that even though employees may have financial stress and other stresses in their lives, a major source is the workplace. So they need to help the employees manage stress in the workplace through adoption, you know, of wellness programs that encourage use of employee assistance programs, in other words, calling and getting help that helps with managing finances, whether it's a debt management program, a debt reduction program, for example, building emergency funds. That also talks to physical activity, Simon, that has been shown, you know, to have a positive impact in terms of reducing stress. So there's a key role for the employer. Having said that, there's also a key role for the individual, you know, to seek help when the stress levels are unbearable, but also not to just downgrade the medical plan, you know, without perhaps getting advice from somebody more knowledgeable. Often companies have consultants who can help you depending on your context, which plan is the right for you. So both the employer, Simon, and the employee, you know, have a role to play if we're going to help employees manage stress. And when we do that, the employer benefits from, you know, high employee engagement, productivity, which ultimately, you know, leads to profitability for the organization.
I like that point. There is also responsibility on the individual and certainly
absolutely,
to engage.
Simon, yes.
You know, don't just do knee-jerk responses, cut a medical aid. There's implications potentially there. I appreciate it is tough out there. Dr. Frank Magwegwe, Corporate Wellness Executive, Sunlam Health Solutions. Appreciate the early morning, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs. no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Renika Tyson, Investment Product Manager at Glacier by Sanlam. Renika, appreciate the early morning. Endowments, which used to have a bad rap back in the sort of 80s and 90s, kind of reinventing themselves and certainly got a place within financial planning. Two key components, tax efficient, and then I think perhaps an important point is that unlimited exposure. Tax initially, if my understanding is correct, there is tax within an endowment product, but certainly if you're in one of those higher tax brackets, the 40, the 45%, you can get some significant tax benefit via an endowment.
Absolutely. Good morning, Simon. So I think to put it in perspective, I mean, those high tax brackets, like you say, go up to 45%. So within the endowment, the tax rate that applies there for individuals is 30% on income, and then effective for capital gains, that's 12%. So there is, for those higher rate taxpayers, a big saving. I think the additional benefit also, and I think it's very relevant with us sort of coming out of a tax filing season now, is that the provider of the endowment will recover that tax and pay directly to SARS. So there's one less thing for us to worry about in terms of our tax return, as also in terms of sort of budgeting the cash flows to be able to pay that tax.
Yeah, I take your point in that. It's kind of someone else does the paperwork. It's simpler. Absolutely. For me. It can also, I mean, in a Regulation 28 world, where many of us are going to have those Reg 28 products, an endowment doesn't have restrictions, certainly in terms of local versus offshore. All those asset classes gives an investor a lot more flexibility.
Definitely, Simon. So I think it's worth making the distinction between offshore endowments and also local endowments. So, I mean, if you look at offshore endowments, those are typically domiciled offshore, and that's where investors have to externalize their assets so that you have to use their own foreign allowance to get their rands offshore, and then they're able to invest that in that whole sort of broad universe of offshore funds and ETFs and shares and all in foreign currency. So there the restriction is about how much money you can get out of SA essentially to invest. I think if we look at local investments though, and these are typically the rand-based ones, there are some restrictions on offshore, but I think the distinction between endowments and, like you say, the retirement annuities, for example, is key. That so with a retirement annuity, each investor has to comply with the offshore limit. Where with the endowment, I mean, that's only monitored on an aggregate level. So as long as the total endowment that the provider offers is within the offshore limit being 40%, then that's okay. Gotcha. So I think that's where it's important to understand what capacity is available with the provider and what rules are they putting in place to manage this. So I think just as an example, I mean, at Glacier, we've been fortunate that we've been able to manage this, and we haven't had to place restrictions on any individual investors in terms of how much they put offshore. So I think it's a key consideration. I mean, if you want that flexibility and optionality in terms of properly diversifying offshore, to just know what the capacity is and how the rules are.
Gotcha. I remember earlier in the year, one of the endowment providers was actually having to place restrictions on the offshore. A last quick question. There's also benefits around estate planning in that in the event of a passing, it pays directly, so there's no executor's fee, and that can certainly save a good number of percentage points. And it can pay out a lot quicker. It doesn't need the estate to be wrapped up. Two small but significant benefits.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think executive fees, I mean, are up to 4%. So, I mean, that can be a significant and worthwhile saving. And then I think also without having to wait for an estate to be wound up first, I mean, to be able to, for loved ones and dependents, sort of more quickly address their needs, I think interest is a key concern for many investors when looking at their estate planning.
We'll leave it there. Renika Tyson, Investment Product Manager at Glacier by Sanlam. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Our poll on Friday, we were talking Mr. Price with Wayne McCurry. They also say they're gaining market share. Everyone says they gain market share. I don't know from who. But anyway, a question we asked you, where do you buy your clothes? Half of you said, yep, Mr. Price. Truers, not many. Like 5 or 6% were Truers. Fashini, about a sixth of you at Fashini. And then a quarter of you were saying other. We asked, where's the other? A lot of you were sort of like independents. A couple were saying, no, man, I make my clothes at home. Respect to you. And then, of course, course, Pep Ackerman were in there as well. Remember, have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nebuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.